That topic is deliberate and is intentional, because I want you to see God's word as such, to know that you die if you don't get God's word, and you live, you know, when you have God's word. As a matter of fact, our life depends, a believer's life depends actually on the revelation of God's word you have. You know, I closed last week by saying that you will live a natural life, an ordinary life, a life of sowing and reaping, you know, when you live by the bread. Matthew chapter 4:4, I will still talk about that. When you live by the bread, you know, even though the Bible says man shall not live by the bread, but by every word. So, but you say, you don't live by the bread alone, but you live by every word. So, a way to live too is by the bread. And I said, law of sowing and reaping, you know that law of sowing and reaping, you know, happens to everybody that is in the world, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, an atheist, you know, God has said in motion. But see, the law of blessing people is not natural. So also God's word. As a believer, you need God's word, you know, to build faith. You need God's word, you know, to trust him. You need God's word to obey. You need God's word to pay your tithe. You need God's word to give your offering, because those are in God's word. So you live a natural believer's life, if I put it that way, you know, studying God's word. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you want to live a supernatural life, when you want to live a life that is filled with God and miracles, when you want to live beyond normal, then you must live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. Every word that proceeds from his mouth is when you are living by revelation. When you are living by the understanding of the word of God that you have. You know, that's the way you live. Let me back pedal. And now you need, like I said, you must think. Tonight, so I need to move quickly because I have some scriptures that I want to zero in tonight. So I want to start from 2 Peter's. Chapter 1, verse 3. And like I said, you need to put your thinking cap on. By the way, can I say this to you? This is not part of my teaching. You know, because when I say put on your thinking cap, it just occurred to me. You know that the Bible says some people have ears, but they don't hear. It is abnormal when people don't have understanding. It is demonic. It is not good when people don't have understanding. You know, some people, no matter how well you teach them in class, they don't understand. It's not God. Something is wrong. And that's why you need this kind of teaching. It was Kenneth Hagin that says there was a dullard. But after he's given his life to Christ, he moved from the back to the front. In other words, he started passing all these books. There's something that happens to a Christian when you have contact with God. Let me put it in another way. Something better happens to a Christian when you have a revelation of God. And the Bible says here, he said, God, 2 Peter 1:3, that I'm going to read. Praise God. Go to verse 1. Okay, a servant and the apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained life, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You know, so when you say hi to somebody, you don't say hi, just say grace be multiplied unto you. Verse 3. Praise God. According as his divine power. This is where I'm coming. You know, I say 2 Peter 1:3. He said, according as his divine power had given unto us all things. Now, you can underline that in your Bible. He said, according as his divine power had given unto us all things. I know when God speaks, God does not joke by what he says. You know, God does not make mistake by the thing he says. When God says, all, then believe he's all. When God says, about to, believe he's about to. So when God says there, he's giving us all things pertain to life and godliness. God means everything. Now look at me. What happens to you when you gave your life to Christ? The day you come to know him, you know, I said to Ross, you know, first service, I said, actually, you don't give your life to Christ. You know, it's become a common statement. The truth of the matter is that nobody actually gives his life to Christ, because you don't want to do that, because the kind of the spirit in you does not want to do that. So you give your life to Christ when God actually beckons on you. Okay? So that's actually what salvation is all about. So when you gave your life to Jesus, there's a quantum of God that is deposited in you. Hello? There's a quantum of God. As a matter of fact, it was the revelation of God that brought you out. It was a deposit of God that brought you out. Acts chapter 2, you know, the Bible says when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they all started speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 4, the Holy Ghost came upon them and they all started speaking in tongues. You know, that means that the first experience gave them some level of God on the inside of them. In Acts chapter 4, you know, when they said to them, don't preach in the name of Jesus Christ again, the Bible says they went to their home company. In Acts 4 from 17, they all went to their home company. And when they got into their home company, the Bible says they pray again, they spoke in tongues, and the Bible says God again. So in other words, there's an addition. And that's why you read in the Bible, when God says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Bible says they were full of the Holy Ghost, there are two different things. Praise God. You know, but what I want to bring out, I'm not going to teach on that tonight, but what I want to bring out tonight is the fact that, you see, you can have some deposit of God. You can have some deposit of God. You can have some deposit of God. You can have some other deposit of God. Praise God. Amen. In other words, God can continuously fill you up. So when you gave your life to Christ, God come on the inside of you. One of the things that happens when God is deposited into your heart is that everything that pertains to life and godliness is on the inside of you. Selah. Everything that pertains to life, everything that will make you to enjoy life, everything that will make you to be great in life, everything that will make you to be rich, to overcome poverty, everything that will make you to overcome sickness and disease, you know, that you can live in divine health, that you can live in divine healing, that you can be excellent in life, that you can have downhill ones, everything that you can build your own house and live in your own house, that you want to relocate and you want to jack by ye, you know. Actually, when you understand this, you find out that you actually don't need to jack by. Because everything that pertains to life and godliness is in you. In other words, wherever you step, actually you have the potential to prosper therein. That is a major experience of salvation. At salvation, you became a totally different being. You know, that's what they said about Saul. You know, when the Bible says when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, he started prophesying. He said, is he now part of the prophets? My prophet, boy now. Praise God. In other words, when the Holy Ghost came upon him, the Bible says he became a different person. When you have Jesus in your life, even though your color did not change, even though sometimes some of you that behave crazily, even after you're born again, you still continue to behave crazily, isn't it? But there's something that actually happened in your heart. There's a deposit of God on the inside of you. And God is careful to say this. Everything that you need in life is there in your heart. But look at me. This is where the problem is. We don't experience everything. We still have challenges. We still fall ill. We still beg sometimes. We still, all those things that happen to you, some of the things you are passing through, all the challenges we're passing through, the weaknesses that we have, you know, the defeat that we have, you know, we still have those problems. Now listen, because you need to get this. There needs to be a transition of the blessings of God from your spirit to your physical. Did you get that? The blessing must move from your heart, because the blessings, everything that pertains to life and godliness, is not deposited in your brain. It's not deposited in your flesh. It's not deposited any other place. It's deposited in your heart. And so for you to begin to enjoy, you know, divine healing, for you to divine health, for you to prosper in the things you lay your hands upon, there must be an experiential knowledge of the things deposited in your heart. So when you don't have it in your body, when you don't have it, you know, in your environment, when you don't have it socially, there's a blockade somewhere. You know where the blockade is? Look at me. The blockade is in your mind. Because the gateway to your flesh, to your environment, when I mention flesh, I'm talking about both your body. I'm talking about the thing concerns you, your environment, you know, your ecology system, you know, your social system, you know, you move from your heart, you know, to the physical. But there must be a transition from your heart to your mind and to your physical. You don't experience it. Why? Because there's a blockade in the mind. Let me put it another way. You don't experience it because your mind is unrenewed. You don't experience it even though you're born again. Your mind is not born again. That's where the challenge is. And that is why, listen to this statement. The next critical thing, momentous thing, that must happen in the life of a believer after salvation is the process of the salvation of your mind. When you gave your life to Jesus, your mind was not born again. And that's why Philippians says, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because he knows that you will actually not live a victorious life. When you're born again, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. But see, the devil is still beating your head, using drumstick to beat your head. You know, sometimes we still struggle. You know why? Because experientially, we are not witnessing, sitting at the right hand of Jesus. I know what is blocking the experience is the mind. And that is why we need this series. This series is going to liberate your mind. This series is going to set you on the path if you choose to. Praise God. And I hope that your ears will be open. Your heart will be receptive to get it. And that's why it is critical. And so when you see some shenanigans in your life, you see some absurdities in your life, you see some acceptable norms in your life, it is not that you don't have it. A believer is not better than a believer. Praise God. It's the same God that is in your life. It's the same God that is in my life. It is the same Holy Ghost that is in my life. Praise God. Amen. You don't have a special Holy Ghost. You don't have a man of God Holy Ghost. You don't have a servant of God Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Spirit that is in us. But you see, we turn out differently because the way we work on our minds are different. And that's as much as possible, I don't want you to miss these Tuesday meetings. You need it. It will change your life. When you have your mind sorted out, then you have your destiny sorted out. Let me repeat that. When you have the state of your mind sorted out, you have your destiny sorted out. The mind is the seat of your emotion, intelligence, understanding, mental faculties. You know, your mind is where you will either prosper or you remain poor. In your mind is the area of reasoning. So when your reasoning says to you that because my grandfather was poor, I'll be poor, you'll be poor. If I lay hands on you till tomorrow, you'll be poor. If your mind is saying, your reasoning is saying to you that this exam, I'm not ready, I'm going to fail. Oh boy, there's nothing God will do about it. You are going to fail. If your reason says to you that I will continue to use drugs until I die, oh my dear brother, so shall it be. Because that's why your intelligence is working. That's why your reasoning is working. That's why your mental faculties is working. And so when you see people that cannot comprehend God, it's because there's a blockade in their mind. So your mind must be free. Your mind must be delivered. And I put it this way, your mind must be born again. When the mind is born again, then you're ready for all the blessings of God. For all the blessings of God. Your life shall be as successful to the level of your mind renewal. Possibilities are in the mind. Strong goals also are in the mind. Stagnation are the products of the mind. Success is conceived in the mind. Praise God. You know, your spirit is the seat of all things that pertains to life and godliness. And I said, a limited mind is a limited destiny. When your mind is limited, then your destiny is limited. You can never see beyond your mind. You can never. Jesus was telling the apostles, you know, the disciples. He said, lift up your eyes and see that the field is ripe for harvest. And he was telling them in a land where they did not believe in him. It was a strange thing. He said, lift up your eyes. The field is ripe. And they're just looking. How can the field be ripe? Here they hate us. They don't love you. They don't want to listen to you. The Bible says when Jesus got to his people, he could not do much. He did some few healings, some few touchings of the people. But the Bible says he could not do much. Why? Because in their mind, they did not see the Son of God. They were seeing the son of a carpenter. What's up with this guy? I said, in their mind, they were seeing the son of a carpenter. As long as you are seeing Jesus as the son of a carpenter, you can never be healed. As long as you are seeing Jesus as the son of a carpenter, you know, you can never be blessed. When you want to know how to work miracles from the first principle, not that you need a pastor to lay hands on you, not that you need to go to some mountain type, when you want to understand how to be blessed from the first principle, let your mind be renewed. You can work it out. Every time you can work it out. If you are here, say amen. Amen. Oh, praise God, I'm glad you are here. You can work it out from the first principle. A believer has everything. Praise God. It's the pastors and the pastors that want to chop from you that make you to see that you are tied to their apron. You know, you must come to me. You must receive this from me. You must receive that from me. No. When your mind is renewed, you can work out your blessing from the first principle. You can sit down in your house. You can come to church. And then you work out blessings and change from the first principle. Genesis chapter 15. You know what the Bible says? I'm talking about the mind. God, 15 from 1 to 6. God has spoken to Abraham severally. As a matter of fact, God has changed Abraham to Abraham. And he said, you're going to be father of many nations. Now, look at me. You need to get this. You see, when God in chapter 11 or 12 says to Abraham, he said, Abraham, please follow me. He said, leave your father, leave your mother. As a matter of fact, he did not have any choice because Terah, his father, had just died. And the Bible says, and the Lord had said, in other words, you know, the father had to die for him to hear. Praise God. It's like Isaiah. He said, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. As though the living of King Uzziah was blocking him to see the Lord. Praise God. He said, but the day he died, I saw the Lord. You know, sometimes we need to cast away some stuff in our life for us to see clearly. And the Bible says, for the Lord has said. And so when his father died, he just got up. God is wife, God is kindred, you know, God is wife, and took some belongings. Because the Bible actually said to him, you leave your father, you leave your mother, you leave your kindred, and then follow me to a land that I'm going to show you. Now, when God said to him that you are going to be father of many nations, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to people. You know what God did that time? It's like 2 Peter that you read. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, God had deposited in Abraham. He got it. The quantum was there. Because when God says it, God will deposit it. But see, Abraham, nothing changed. Praise God. Nothing changed. God had blessed Abraham. God had multiplied Abraham. God had given Abraham all that he needed, but nothing changed. The first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, nothing changed. And in time, God will say to him, I have made you father of many nations. Now, to a mind that is not renewed, that is stupid, isn't it? Because you're talking to a man that even hasn't gotten a child. Hello, somebody. You're talking to a man that has no child. And she has made you a father of many nations. I suppose that God should begin to say, I'm going to give you. You can't. You can be hearing of the blessings. You can be hearing of the promises. You can be hearing of what God has planned for you. But you are not going to see it. Let me put it in another way. You can never have in life what you haven't seen. God knew that. And God said, okay, this is what I'm going to do for this guy. He said, Abraham, you come. And he took him out. Genesis 15, I said, you know, from 1 to 6. He took him out. He said, come. Now, begin to count the stars. And I guess Abraham loves the Lord. He lives on obedience. Don't tell me how he was able to. But he was counting. Hagar was counting. And as he was counting, the blockade of the mind was falling off. As he was counting, the blockade of the heart was falling. Until, let me say this to you, the deep calleth unto the deep. When there's faith in your heart, God knows there's faith. You can jump and demonstrate. You can fly. He doesn't move God. When it is there, the heaven knows that it's there. So, the Bible says, when it got to a point, the Bible says, and Abraham believed God. Why? Because now he was able to see something fell off from the heart. That is the process of renewing of your mind. You know, when you start that process, things will begin to fall off. Doubt will begin to fall off. Unbelief will begin to fall off. You know, calling God short will begin to fall off. I'm going to be sick for the rest of my life. We begin to fall off. I'm not going to have my house. We begin to fall off. I'm not going to have my child. We begin to fall off. The doctor said the two tubes are blocked. You begin to fall off. Why? Because as you get closer to God, you begin to turn to be like God. So when he looked and looked and looked, and the Bible says he believed God, and it was counted. I believe that was the time something happened here. You know, probably the spermatozoa that had died, something happened. The wife, you know, the womb had died. When he believed God, it was counted. Something happened in Sarah's life. Hallelujah, somebody. That what happens to us. The Bible says that he got him to go and count. In Matthew chapter 4, it was another thing that the devil was trying to do to Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, you know, when he was done fasting, and the Bible says he was hungry, and the devil came. He said, the most vulnerable time, you know, the hungry time. And the devil came. And the devil started tempting Jesus Christ. And you know, the temptations were about what he was seen. He said, come. And then the temptation were about the flesh. He was hungry. He said, but son of God, why can't you turn stones, you know, to food? That's lust of the flesh. When he couldn't get that done, he said, okay, and that thing that I'm going to get you to do, come and see life. He took him to a very high place. He said, if you just bow, all these things I'm going to give you. In other words, there's a warfare over our minds at all times. What did I say? At all times,
there's a warfare going on in the mind. It was going to afflict Jesus' mind. Because he knew that if it's done in his mind, he's done with his destiny. If it's done in his mind, if you could have defeated Jesus in his mind, you and I, we are done for. Glory to Jesus, that Jesus overcame those temptations. Hallelujah. That is the battle of the mind. That's what is going on, you know, in the mind. The spirit is okay. You're born again. The grace of God is over your heart. The possibilities of God are over your heart. Excellence is deposited in your heart. You know, a lot of us, especially Christians, we are so mediocre and mediocre-ish in everything that you do. We've forgotten as a believer, actually, you have excellence deposited in your heart. You must strive towards it. But a lot of us say, if I have 40, I'm good. You know? What about the people that are going to have 80? So, these are the challenges that we have in our heart. Now, let me begin to press. I hope I'll be able to do this in 15 minutes. Let's see Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. If you can help me, you project so that I can maximize my time. Proverbs 4:23. Okay. Now, listen. Because your mind is where the conflict is.
The Bible says certain things about your mind. That also some of our false scriptures. So they can get what I'm talking about. You see what the Bible says there?
He said, because he knows you will either excel or be limited by your mind. He knows that your life cannot go above the state of your mind. He knows that you can never know, enjoy life beyond the state of your mind. Oh, let me put it another way. Because he knows that the transition from your spirit to your body will go through your mind. And so you need to work on the mind. And so the Bible says here, he said, keep your heart with all diligence, for heart of it are the issues of life. Let me read some translations. He said, guard your heart. Now listen to this. Listen to this. He said, for everything you do flows from it. Don't be confused. In the Old Testament, you know, the mind, the heart, the soul, they are substituted. It's in the New Testament you begin to have some form of delineation, you know, among those areas. So, in the heart here, it's actually talking about your mind. Like I said to you, your spirit man is okay. Where the fight is your mind. So he said one of the ways or the things you need to do is to keep a guard over that your mind. He said, keep your mind. I like a translation. He said, keep your mind with all keepings. In other words, everything you can use, whether you're going to use Amotekun, whether you're going to use SSS, whether you're going to use Israeli Mosaic, whatsoever. Do you understand that? Spend your last kobo to keep your heart, because out of it is the issues of life. Issues of life are the successes, are the plans, are the reactions, are the actions and inactions. Some of us, we get angry like Shango because you are not keeping your mind. I was talking to a young lady this evening. I said, you need to go and deal with bitterness. He said, sir, I know I'm bitter. I said, because if you don't deal with bitterness, I said, you will never go beyond this level. I said, this issue you are passing through, there will never be a closure. That's why you need to keep your heart. Your heart can finish you. You can have a great potential in life, but you will never get to your fullest potential because your mind has stopped you. Years back, I was speaking to a young lady. I met her tailoring, whatever. And I said, why are you doing tailoring? How is your age? You know what she said to me? She said that I'm afraid that if I went to school, I will never pass. I said, who told you that? He said, I'm afraid that if I went to school, I would never pass. Because there's a stronghold. She has lost guard over her mind. The Bible says that keep your mind with all keepings because heart of it. You know, I'm talking about the word is your life. That's what I'm saying here. He said, everything you do flows from it. Everything you do comes from your mind, and that's why you need to keep it. He said, guide your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I like that. It determines the course of your life. The decision you take from your mind. You know, I talk about your mind is the seat of intelligence, of your emotions, you know, of your decisions, of your reasoning. And so, because everything you do, it determines your course of your life. Whether you're going to do well, whether you're going to fail, whether you're going to take right decisions, whether you're going to rehearse, whether you're not going to rehearse, whether you're going to get angry, whether you're going to curse somebody, whether you're going to take an exam, whether you're not going to take an exam, it comes from that mind. And that's why your mind is critical to your success in life. It's critical to where and how you will end. So you need to keep it. I'll let you know how you keep your mind. He said, guard your heart above hell, for it is the source. It is the source of life. Proverbs 23:7. That's the second scriptures. 23:7. He said, as a man, it's a popular scripture. He said, as a man think. If a man sits down like this, and said, I'm going to die tomorrow. I'm going to die tomorrow. And he said, what are you saying? I'm going to die tomorrow. Ah, how do you know you are going to die tomorrow? Shaman, no, I'm going to die tomorrow. Oh boy. Toba ni titi, trailer ogba. Toba sun le, ile owo, ni to ritie. Toba, whatever. Because the Bible says, the way you think, you are going to turn out. And when you begin to think, I'm going to be father of nations. I'm going to be father of nations. And people are laughing at you. Do you know that Abraham actually did that? You didn't get, you were not there. I was there. He did that. He said, after God had revealed to him, and he caught that revelation. You know what he did? He was going from house to house. God has said to me, I'm going to be father of many nations, and I believe I'm going to be father of many nations. He went to another house, I'm going to be father of many nations. You know that each time that he leaves us on Okube. Oh yeah. When you are 75, oh Rishi. Now you are 90. Oh very Rishi. You know the same thing they did to Noah. When Noah finished, you know, the sheep. And I was telling the people, you need to come in the sheep because rain is going to fall. The professors of that time, you know, were saying I was not part of them because I was not a foolish professor. You know, the professors of that time, they say, have you ever seen rain fall before? Has it ever happened? You know? And then all the stupid ladies of that time, when he went to meet them, you know, had the brochure and said, rain is going to fall. You know what they did? They catwalked away. You know? And said, oh, that has never happened. That's not going to ever happen. Because the ways of God is always foolishness. The way a man thinks, your father cannot help you. The way you think, your mother cannot help you. The way you think, your uncle will not help you. It's the way you think. A man will end up the way he thinks. Let me read to you this. The Bible says, for as, I like this. Listen, I'm going to talk to it. For as he hath thoughts. Now, you get that. Look at me. Who you are today, the way you are looking today, It's not a product of now. It's a product of the way you've been thinking. That's why I like that transition. He said, the man you turn out today, the way you've been thinking. Where you see a man that has failed in life, it's not because of this exam. He's been thinking that you will fail that exam. I was counseling with a lady that said, Pastor, I didn't want to marry. You know why? He said, because I thought that I will never be pregnant. The guy saw that, Sherry, don't conclude about people in this life. They think that akwepo, you know, that's why it's not. Meanwhile, the lady has problem. The lady wants to take burden heart of a man. He wants to take wall out of a man because, you know, he has thought that he will never. So telling people, I don't want to get married. You will end up the way you think in life. Number three scripture that I want to bring out here. Romans 8, 5 and 6. And you need to get this. Unrenewed mind leads to death. Romans 8, 6 especially. Get me 6. Thank you, brother. Get me verse 6. He said, for to be carnally minded is death. In other words, carnal minded means when your mind is thinking like the world, when your mind is not thinking like God, a renewed mind, a mind that is born again, will always think like God. A mind that is not born again, we always think about failure. We always think on righteousness. We always think about the world. The Bible says that mind is a matter of time. He's going to die. Now, it might not be a physical death, but you find out that things you lay your hands upon can begin to die. Your finances can begin to die. Your academics can begin to die. Your life can begin to die. And sometimes we say, I was talking to somebody, I say, you need to leave your environment. The pastor attends some kind of church where everything is the devil. Fall down dead. You know, and then say, Bogogun tonja yi, Bogogun tonja wa ni koko, Oluwan tonja wa, Edumare bawa, gang. You know, you think about problem, you think about the enemy, you think about the devil, you think about, you know, everything is demon. Now, when you live in that environment, your destiny will be limited, oh boy. Because that's mindedness. And it will lead to death. It will lead to death. These are consequences or pictures of minds that are not born again. I need to get you to that so that when I begin to teach some more about the importance of God's word, you will open your ears because you know the consequences. Matthew 16:23. This is one you can't do in modern day time. You know, even sometimes they say, oh, you just said even to a Christian, your head is not correct. Oh, to go to church. Jesus said to Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Jesus did not have any issue with Peter because Peter had been with him for years. Peter was one of the top apostles. But Jesus had issue with the mindset of Peter at that time. So when he said, get thee behind me, Jesus was actually speaking to the mind. Thou art a stumbling block to me. See what he said. For thou dost not mind the things of God. In other words, your mind is full of this world. A mind that is full of this world will never accommodate the transition all things that pertains to life and godliness. That mind cannot accommodate it. Aja, mind, aja. You know some things? When you have a basket and you drop a big stone, aja, you can't contain it. So for your mind to be able to contain the heavenly blessings, that mind has to be renewed. Numbers 13. You know, when they went to search the land, and then they said, in our eyes, we look like grasshoppers. Can you see a man that is not born again? He said, I can joke about it. One day, would I want? One day, be tata, tata, and shanko. Be tata, lari. But, lo, me, yes, lady, be tata. Sherry, the devil is a stupid devil. Can you see that? Tobati, and Igwe, in our eyes, we look like arara. Do you get? He said, do you understand? We look like arara. How can human be God of God, people that were called out? You understand? And said, we look like we are grasshoppers. We saw giants. And then the thing that came to your mind is that we are like grasshoppers. He said, because we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, so in their eyes too, we are like grasshoppers. When they look at them like grasshoppers, you know that if you see yourself one kind, that's your own wala. Now, did they go to interrogate the people and say, people, how did you see us? Did you get what I'm saying? They said that we saw ourselves like grasshoppers. They now said that in their eyes, we are like, did they conduct interview? Can you see why, what mind blocking, how it can finish people's destiny? And going further, you know that those people that saw them, they say like grasshoppers, they didn't enter the promised land. All of them. These are spiritual principles, ladies and gentlemen. These are spiritual principles. Because God could not do something about people that saw themselves as failure. I've given you up things that pertain to life and godliness. What is wrong with you? I want you to exhale the deposit is in your heart. What is wrong with you? The only man that said, he said, oh God, don't mind them. Even though we are small, low tone, but oh boy, we can go and possess the land. That is the only man that possesses the land. God can't help you. If you see yourself defeated, perplexed, humbled, sick, God can't help you. Pastor can't help you. Nobody can help you. This is the way you need to help yourself. Nothing will happen until the process of mind rehab begins. So I continue from there next week. How you begin to get your mind renewed. Hallelujah. Come and jump on your feet if you are blessed. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, say to yourself, God, cause my eyes to see. Cause my ears to hear. And cause my heart to be receptive to great and mighty things prepare for me. Things you prepare for me. My mind will comprehend it. My eyes will see it. And my heart will receive it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you.